I think that's it. Like, I think just creating the opportunity and also just seeing the value in hiring disabled performers.
Welcome to ActorCast, the podcast that broadcasts the work, advice, and insight of actors, writers, directors, producers, and other industry experts in show business. I'm your host, Patrick McAndrew. Sit back, take notes, and enjoy the show. Hello, 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 and welcome to episode number 57 of the ActorCast. As always, thank you so much for tuning in, where you are learning the latest and greatest information from entertainment industry experts. If you haven't already done so, head to actorcast.fm and sign up for our newsletter so that you could stay up to date on our latest guests. We have an amazing guest joining us today. This is an incredible episode, and I am so glad that he was able to join us. We are joined by Brennan C. Cerecal. Brennan was born in Bangkok, Thailand, and diagnosed with cerebral palsy at birth. Brennan is a singer, actor, speaker, and a certified personal trainer. He is proudly disabled and uses a wheelchair and forearm crutches to ambulate. His favorite stage credits include Pillow Man, Breaking the Code, and Titanic the Musical. His favorite film and TV credits include Yuna's Lunch and The Road Show. Brennan produces, writes, and stars in his own short films, including Brennan, My Interview with Deborah Days, and PB&J. Brennan has also performed his solo show in My Own Little Corner at the Ocean State Theater Company, the Courthouse Center for the Arts, the University of Rhode Island, the Martha's Vineyard Playhouse, and the Metropolitan Room in New York City. Brennan is the creator and producer of Disabled Down Center, an annual benefit and training program of disabled performers and allies. And let me tell you, Brennan is truly an inspiration, and I say this a few times in this episode, that he is paving the way for disabled performers in the entertainment industry. We talk about what first inspired Brennan to become a performer. We talk about the struggles that come with having a disability and how Brennan was able to embrace his disability through using disability to breed creativity. We talk about this a lot. We talk about how the entertainment industry has failed at the opportunity of using people with disabilities within shows and productions. And we also talk about how the entertainment industry can better represent those with disabilities. Brennan and I also talk about Disabled Down Center, and we talk about the benefit concert that I had the opportunity to see Brennan perform in and put together a few months ago. And we also talk about the training program and why this is so important today. This is truly a great episode. I was so honored to have Brennan on the show. And if you like what you hear, head to actorcast.fm and leave us a review. So without further ado, let me please introduce our guest for today's episode of ActorCast, Brennan C. Cerecal. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the ActorCast. Today, we have Brennan joining us for the show. Brennan, thank you so much for joining us for ActorCast today.
Thank you, Patrick. I'm sorry it took us so long to get together, but I'm happy to be here.
Oh, yeah, no worries. I know that, you know, we're busy, and I know that you have a lot of exciting things and projects going on at the moment. So I'm very excited that we are finally able to get together and sit down and have this conversation. You are really doing some amazing work in the entertainment industry right now, and I'm excited to get to those points. But I'm wondering if we could just first start out by hearing a little bit about yourself, and maybe you could tell us what inspired you to become a performer.
Wow. So I've been performing for a long time now. What inspired me to become a performer? Well, I think when I was younger, it was about becoming someone else, because being a disabled little boy didn't exactly feel that great, and being excluded from my peers at school and stuff sucked. So I think feeding my imagination in that way felt good, but I also, I don't know, I saw The Lion King on Broadway when I was, I think, 7 or 8. It was 1998, I don't do math, but it was the day before my birthday, so I think it was the day before my 7th birthday. And I was just so captivated. I've always been kind of, like, theatrical. I don't know, it just, no one in my family is in entertainment or anything. But I don't know, it just, it's always kind of been a part of me. And then I got into, like, singing. And then I ended up studying theater in college. And that's where I think things shifted for me. It wasn't any more about, like, wanting to be somebody else, but more bringing as much of myself to every character. I had a colleague in college really break it down simply for me and say, all acting is a refraction of the text through ourselves. And I don't know, in that moment, it just kind of clicked for me that, like, oh, like, it isn't so much about transforming, but bringing out different sides of my own personality, which really, I think, forced me to examine, like, well, who am I? And so ever, that was probably, like, close to 12 years ago now that he said that, and I think ever since then, it's been a really cool and difficult exploration. As you know, Patrick, this industry is hard.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and say it's not hard. Like, I feel like at 31, more than ever, I, like, question, what am I doing? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Really and truly. Like, and I feel like I used to, like, pretend that it wasn't difficult and that, like, I enjoyed rejection. But, yeah, I've always, and I guess that's to say, like, no matter how much I question my place in this industry, I always come back to it, which I think means something. Like, to be honest, Patrick, I haven't been on stage in a play or in a musical since 2012, and I've spent the past 9 years trying to get one line on television.
Wow.
Like, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I know, I'm just going to be real with you. And, like, but somehow I keep coming back to it consistently, so I think that means something. I don't know. But I'm also, like, grateful that I really haven't booked much ever that wasn't self-produced, because no matter how hard I get on myself about not having a commercial resume, like, my resume is full of my own artistry.
Yes. Well, this is something that I love about you as an artist, Brennan, is that you have created so much work for yourself. Do you find that you've learned a lot about yourself as an artist through the work that you've created?
Yeah, I think it really forces me to examine, like, who am I and what kind of art do I want to make? What is my own sense of comedy like? Actually, I have to be honest with you. When I was in high school, my senior year, we did a production of Annie, and the animal trainer, Bill Baroni, who, like, does all the Broadway dogs and stuff, came to my school with an Annie, with a Sandy, and I remember him telling me, like, you don't want to be an actor. He was like, you do not want to be saying someone else's lines and doing what other people tell you to do for the rest of your life. And at that point in time, I was kind of like, what do you mean I am an actor? Like, you know what I mean? But, like, now I sort of understand that. Having, like, produced my own work, I'm like, as much as I get down on myself about not having like a commercial resume, it's like, do I really just want to be someone else's puppet?
Right.
Or do I want to make art?
Yeah.
My own art that says something about me and not being of service to someone else's artistry, which is fine. You know, that's fine. Like, I think I want a mix of both, but I'm like, my own art, telling myself what to do and making my own art, I kind of understand what he meant by it, because I feel like if you're always doing someone else's work, is that really your own art? Not really, if you think about it. Like, you know, it's still art, of course, but I want to also be artistic, you know what I mean? So I think doing my own stuff allows me to do that. As much as I do have moments where I'm like, who the hell am I? I'm a swore. Who the hell am I? Like, I don't have any, like, commercial work really on my resume. Like, I am no one. Like, you know what I mean?
Oh, I would. Well, I wouldn't say that. I mean, but I see. I know where you're coming from. Where it's sometimes there's this imposter syndrome of, oh, am I, as you were just saying, who am I to be able to create this work and put it out into the world? But I absolutely agree with what you're saying, that I think that there's a richness to it. When you're acting in another production, while yes, you could get creative and with creating a character, you're at the end of the day in service to someone else's vision. Whereas
vision,
when
yeah.
you create your own work, as you were saying before, you're able to pursue your own artistic vision more specifically.
And plus, like, I feel as if, going back to the point I made before, saying, like, when I was younger, and even still now, feeling excluded by society sucks. So, like, I feel like that's why I enjoy making my own work, because I like to be involved. You know, and that's why I enjoy producing and stuff, because I want to be involved. You know, I don't just want to show up.
Yeah, yeah. You want a greater say into the creative vision of everything. And
yeah, and I don't know if that, like, means I'm, like, bossy or whatever.
No, I don't.
You know?
I don't. No, no. I think it's the artist's... It's like that book, The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron, where you're...
I've never read
oh,
it.
Oh, it's a great book. Oh,
it.
You would love it.
Does that make me a bad artist?
No, absolutely not. I actually only read it, you know, relatively recently. So yeah, but it's like, it's fulfilling that artistic vision. And I love how you've been doing that through producing and through creating your own work. That really leads me to another question, Brennan. I know that, you know, you were, for our listeners who aren't familiar, I know you were born with cerebral palsy.
Yeah.
And so did you ever see this disability as an adversity? And how and when was there a time that you began to start to embrace this disability? Because at least that's kind of the side that I see, is that you are really becoming a pioneer for people with disabilities in the entertainment industry. And, you know, we'll talk about Disabled Down Center soon, but so I'm seeing you embrace and kind of own your disability right now, which is incredibly inspiring and something that's absolutely needed in this industry. But was there a time where you saw it as an adversity? And then when was that shift, if there was a shift, of then embracing it?
Okay, I gotta be honest with you, Patrick. Like, I might get a lot of flack for saying this, but, like, in many ways, being disabled is hard because we live in an ableist society, right? Where there are so many barriers. So there are days where I'm like, this is so difficult, you know? But on the same side of the same coin, disabled people have existed forever, and we continue to exist. And so just based upon that, like, we exist. We're here. Like, and I feel like disability breeds so much creativity in so many ways, you know, and ingenuity. My friend Juliet, who designed the graphics for Disabled Down Center, always reminds me that it breeds not only creativity but ingenuity, because, you know, as disabled people, we do have to be kind of reinventing things in order to function and survive in a world that was often not made for us to exist, really.
It baffles me that, you know, and I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but it baffles me that I feel like only recently have started to become conversations about the importance of people with disabilities in you know, in work, in entertainment, whether it's film or television or theater.
Exactly. My friend Danielle Demchik, that was on your podcast as well, and a great friend of mine and a producing partner in Disabled Down Center, often reminds me of, like, when I tell Danielle, I when am I going to book any kind of work? She always reminds me, like, the opportunities have just started, you know? So, like, don't be too, like, down on any of that. And I think in many ways she's right. Like, you know what I mean? And, like, I auditioned for my first Broadway show when I was 15. And I'm 31 now. Like, you know what I mean? But even going into that audition for 13, I was like, you know, probably the only disabled actor they saw for that disabled role, which kind of blows my mind looking back at that, because it's like, why weren't they seeing more people back then when the role specifically called for a disabled person? I'm not trying to shame anyone, but like, it only sort of makes sense. You know what I mean?
Right. And I think, too, to your point about, in a lot of ways, disability informing creativity, I feel like that sort of lived experience, and obviously you would know this 1,000 times more than I would. I could never fully understand that. But to be able to tell stories with people who actually have disabilities, it makes the story so much richer and so much deeper, I feel like.
Yeah, and I think that's, like, for example, when I went to college, like, I wasn't utilized very much, and that kind of confused me a little bit. Not only did I know I had talent, but I kind of was like, don't you all think this is cool? Like, don't you all think this is art? Like, you know what I mean? And that this could be really transformative for everyone.
Yeah,
and it just was very, like, again, breeding creativity. Don't y'all think this is an opportunity to be creative? Like, isn't this why we're here? To be creative and to push the boundaries of creativity?
Right.
So, yeah, that's when I really started to recognize, oh, I do have something to offer. They're just not seeing it. And I feel like I still feel like that sometimes in the industry. Like, I have talent, and I'm not saying, like, oh, I think I'm amazing, but I don't think I have the talent of a trash can either. I think I'm, you know, fairly talented, and I do think that disability breeds creativity and authenticity that I don't think I would have. As an actor, I often say, like, my well is so deep, please let me use it. Like, you know what I mean?
Right. Oh my, and I can only imagine. Just through your experience working in the entertainment industry, and I know you've said there's been, you know, some ups, a lot of downs, a lot of struggle, a lot of kind of going back and forth of working in the industry. Just based on your experience and kind of to what Danielle's point was saying to you earlier, is that these roles are just starting. how do you believe, in your opinion, the entertainment industry could improve when it comes to creating opportunities for people with disabilities?
I think that's it. Like, I think just creating the opportunity and also just seeing the value in hiring disabled performers. Again, like, I can only speak for myself, but as a disabled performer, I know that my well is exception. My emotional well and emotional availability is very deep, and I offer that to all of my performances, you know? And so I think my performances are enriched by my disability, and I feel like, I don't know, it just is, disability is so interesting. It's so interesting. So just seeing, like, the value. But again, that goes back to our society. I don't even think it has anything to do with the entertainment industry. I think it's just society at large. Disabled people are so often left out of the conversation. Even when people are talking about minorities. You know?
Do you think that in these conversations, people are... they're just simply not aware, or that, you know, they're not thinking about this whole group of people with disabilities that could very well be included into the conversation? Do you think they're just not thinking about that? Or do you think that they're like actively being like, oh, okay, we don't want this in our show, or we don't want this in our creative work?
I think it's maybe a little bit of both. I think people might not think that audiences will react well to disability. I think it's often, just like I said, society just forgetting about people with disabilities. I think it's many sides to the coin. And I also think, like, I hate to say it, but accommodations cost money. Like, so I think that goes into it too. Like, you know what I mean? People not wanting to shoulder that kind of burden to make those accommodations financially. I'm not making excuses for anyone. I'm just saying I think that's part of the, part of it. And then just, like, how disabled people are integrated into society. Like, you know what I mean? We are so often forgot about. I mean, like, look at the New York City transit system and how difficult it is for... I mean, that's part of the reason why I don't live in New York, really, is because the subways are so not accessible.
That is very true. That is very true.
So we just talk about being forgotten. Like, you know what I mean? And it doesn't seem like they're going to do anything about it. And it's almost 2023.
Yeah, it's wild. And you would think a big city like New York that has millions of people, and therefore, you know, probably hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people who are disabled. You think that they would make such accommodations, and it's a shame that that's the case. And to your point too, I think that just the outlook that society has overall towards people with disabilities, whether it's forgetting or something else, bleeds into entertainment as well.
Yeah, because entertainment is a mirror on our society, right? Often. And if you think about it, like, the ADA was only enacted in 1990. Like, that wasn't that long ago. You know? And, like, even then, I think, like, you know, there's so many loopholes in the ADA that allow people to have non-accessible spaces and be sort of exclusive in many ways, even though we've obviously come so far, and I'm so grateful for those activists that made it happen. But, I mean, there's still so much more work that can be done, you know, to not only make our spaces physically accessible, but, like, accessibility goes far beyond just getting in.
Absolutely. Well, that leads me to what I want to talk about next is Disabled Down Center, talking about just providing a platform to really let people with disabilities shine. I talked with Danielle a bit about this when I had her on the ActorCast, but I would love to hear your perspective, because she actually came from the perspective of, oh, Brennan came to me with this idea and it was very exciting.
Yeah, I did.
So I'd love to just pick your brain a little bit onto like what inspired the idea, and then how did you go about executing it to see it through? I had that, just for our listeners out there, I had the opportunity to see this performance earlier this summer, and it was incredible seeing all these performers come together and sharing all your talents. So I'm wondering if you could share with us what was the origin behind it, and how did you see it through?
Okay, so like I had started producing my own short films, and I really enjoyed that, but I wanted to like start getting into producing like a lot. Live performance, like, you know, because I come from live performance, and I don't know, I was just sitting in my room one day, and I was like, it would be really cool to have a concert with disabled performers singing iconic roles in musical theater. And then I started thinking, and I was like, well, I wouldn't want to pocket any of the money, because that feels not right. And I've always been passionate about performing arts education, and the fact that I feel like performing arts education and arts education is so expensive. And so I really wanted to start a training program for disabled and non-disabled allies that was free and accessible to everyone, because I remember going to I won't mention them, but a studio, an acting studio in New York, and I remember getting in the elevator with somebody at that studio and them saying, are you ever going to take class here? I'm not, like, it's too expensive. And I was like, oh my god, thank you for saying that, because me neither. Like, I could never. And that's when it got me thinking, like, we need to make this more affordable for people. Otherwise, there won't be any other, there won't be anyone performing anymore. Like, you know, because we have to eat. You know, you can't. I understand people need to make money, I get that. But, like, thousands upon thousands of dollars for, like, a series of classes? Come on.
As if we're trying to work in the industry wasn't difficult enough, right?
Exactly my point. And exactly, like, you know, a lot of people are like servers and working like, you know, jobs that don't exactly pay like the best. How are they gonna train? Like, you know, and I feel like being disabled in this country comes at a financial cost as well. And, like, I really wanted to give people access and bring people top-tier training opportunities for free via Zoom, so it could be accessible, so that people didn't necessarily have to come to New York or be from New York or anything like that. Because I don't live in New York. Like, you know, I'm 4 hours away. So I just contacted the Green Room 42, signed the paperwork, and then I was like, I need some help. So I had Danielle, and I are really dear friends, so she called me and said, I want to get involved. And then I was like, Danielle's great, but like, she's also never really produced anything before. So I had reached out to Aaron Glick, who I had never known before. Like, we had zero relationship, but I reached out to his office just as like a general ask of like, do you have anybody that would be willing to help us? And luckily he emailed back, and we had a meeting, and he got on board, and ever since he's been such a wonderful friend and a resource and a mentor. to me, incredible. And, like, obviously, he has produced many, many Broadway shows, so, like, he absolutely knew what he was doing, and told us we needed to get involved with the 501c3 so that I didn't incur any taxes, because I'm, you know, this is a passion project. So that's where we got Musical Theater Factory on board to be our fiscal partner to help us with all the finances. And then I just began asking people to be involved as far as performers go. We reached out to some agents and managers. It was really important to me, Patrick, to showcase diversity within disability, so age, race, gender, you know, gender identity. Yeah, and it was really also important for me to have a lot of non-disabled people involved, because that's inclusion. So whether that, it was very important for me, like with our deaf performers, that their voice and counterparts not be disabled, because yeah, that's inclusion. And again, it was important for me to bring on creative team members that weren't disabled either, because again, that's inclusion, and I feel like we all can learn something from each other.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, I know, just speaking from myself as an audience member that evening, it was just, the energy in the room was incredibly positive, incredibly inspiring as well. I remember looking around at other people in the room and being like, this amazing talent, just like one after the other.
I
like,
know, right?
Who's performing. Why? Oh my gosh. I was like, people need to know about all these performers. Like, it was incredible.
And like our four younger performers, they ranged from 10 to 16 years old, and they just were mind-blowing to me to be that age and sing that well and perform that well and act that well. It really makes me hopeful for like the next generation of performers, and I just really think about them and really want to make an industry that is more accessible to them, so that they can feel included a little bit more, like, you know. And it's not to rag on anyone, Patrick, like, that's not what I'm here to say, but like, I once had a casting director, and I know she meant this as like a good thing. She said to me once, like, if you weren't disabled, I'm sure you would be a huge star by now. And I know she meant that to say, like, don't get down on yourself. Like, keep going, because you have something there. You know, she wasn't being ableist. She wasn't. She was being 100% genuine, because I was telling her, like, this shit is hard, man. Like, when is it gonna happen for me? And I think about what she said a lot that day, and it really gives me power to keep trucking through. Because again, I'm like, okay, I don't have the talent of a trash can. Like, that's good. So that's how Disabled Down Center started. And then I reached out to Playbill, because I wanted to get an organization from the industry really involved. And I had a meeting with Phil, the CEO, and it was his idea to make the tickets free of charge. So they bought out the venue for us. And yeah, it was just, and they made us a Playbill. It was beautiful, and we hope to have them involved for many years to come, because it was a wonderful collaboration. And I really have to give Phil and his team some major props for standing up for inclusion in this way and really putting their actual money where their mouth is.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. It's a testament to your work and to just these people that you reached out to, and the impact that it had on that evening, and the continuing impact that Disabled Down Center has with, you know, your upcoming training programs as well. It's truly inspiring, and I feel like it's really only the beginning, you know. I feel like there's so much good to come.
I hope so, yeah. Patrick, I hope so, and I'm glad you enjoyed the evening. It was quite magical, huh?
Oh, it was. It was really.
It was something. It was something that's almost indescribable, I feel, in that room that night. I feel like everybody learned something that night. I don't know, and I think it's just a testament to why you have to be hiring disabled performers, because there was so much talent that night. There was, you know, and you could see how every disability enhanced the song and made you look at each material and work differently, I feel.
Yeah.
You know, especially like Trishelle Edmonds' version of I'm Here, like, you know, being performed in ASL, like, the beautiful Aisha Jackson. It was just mind-blowing, right? Yeah. It was just mind-blowing. Seeing those two powerful women work together in that way, it just was like, it made you reinterpret the song. You know, I don't know. It's just, it was a wonderful night, and I'm really glad you were able to be there, Patrick.
Oh my, hey, it was an honor to be in the presence of all of you and to experience.
I have a question for you. How did you find out about it to come?
Yeah, so I actually found out through Danielle. So she had posted something about it on LinkedIn. And I thought, I was like, oh, this sounds great. And Danielle and I had been connected just very, very briefly via email. We had exchanged emails a few times, but I had never met her before in person. The first time I met her in person was at Disabled Down Center. So
yeah, but when we asked you to move from the booth, she was like, can we ask that very attractive young man to move?
She's like, it's like, who is this guy? Yeah, because when I went in there, the waiter sat you at specific tables, so they sat me at that table. But I had no idea. I had no idea that it was like the producer.
So bad that you were like sitting alone in that random booth, you know?
Oh, it's so funny. Oh, but I don't know why the waiter ended up sitting me at that table, but. As you know, because producers are sitting there, it was like the best seat in the house. So I got like a chance of luck that night being seated there. It's so funny.
But that's cool. You found out through LinkedIn.
Yeah, through a post that Danielle put on LinkedIn, and it just appealed to me. It like spoke to me. There was something about it that was like, I should go to this event. And
I mean, it helped that it was free, right? Like that.
Oh yeah,
I can go to that. Like, yes, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you had like that nice little like reception afterwards, and that outdoor.
Yeah, it was really nice.
Yeah,
right? It was really nice to connect with everybody.
Yeah, that was amazing. And that's when you and I met.
Yeah. No. Thank you so much, Patrick. That night was really, really great. I have to say, like. Our music director was a professor of mine from college, so that was so, she's like one of my people. She back then, when not many people believed that I could make something of myself, she stood firm with me and really encouraged me, and she still does. She's an incredible mentor, an incredible musician. Her name is Lila Kane, and she's one of the best things that has ever happened to me. I always tell her, like, if it wasn't for her back then, I probably would have changed my major and done something else. Like, you know what I mean? But she really... And even now that, like, I text her, I'm like, Lila, what am I doing? I'm 31 years old. Like, and she's like, no, just keep going. Like, you are an artist. Like, there's nothing you can do about that. Just, I know it's hard, just... stick it out. And then David Alper, our wonderful director, who came to me from Aaron Glick, was amazing. And our host, Pavar Snipe, who came to me from my agent. We share agents at KMR. She's disabled with rheumatoid arthritis since she was young. She was amazing and so hilarious. And so I was so happy to be able to give her an opportunity to showcase her comedic chops as a comedian, you know, because she's amazing.
Oh, she was great. Oh, she was so
She's
funny.
Amazing. And, yeah. And like I said, our young people, Jonathan and Sebastian, It was Sebastian's first time singing in front of people. He sang "I've Got No Strings" from Pinocchio.
Wow.
He's 10 years old, and it was his first time ever performing in front of an audience.
Oh, you wouldn't have guessed that. Yeah, you wouldn't have guessed that it was his first time. That's amazing.
But at 10 years old?
Wow.
It's like amazing. You know what? I mean, granted, he was on Broadway, so he's obviously, I should rephrase, his first time singing in front of people. He was on Broadway a Christmas Carol, so obviously he's performed in front of people before. But as far as singing goes, it was his first time. And Nick Vivar, who is a little person, and he's 14 now. He was 13 when the concert was, but he's 14 now, and it was his first ever time on like a professional stage. And his voice is insane.
It's amazing.
Insane.
Yeah.
And I was like, how is it that you've never, like, been a Broadway kid? Like, for real. Like, how were you not in Matilda? I don't get it.
Right.
You know? I mean, I guess he was younger then, but still, like, you know what I mean? It's like, you're amazing. So, just giving... And then Jonathan, he was just in 13 on Netflix and did a great job. Like, and everybody. Anita is, I think in her 70s, she said, and I was told her, I was like, I was really wanting her to be in it, because I feel like when people think about performers, they only think about young people.
Yeah, absolutely. She was amazing. She's actually on the actor cast as well. Anita is someone that that was another reason why I went to Disabled Down Center, is because I knew Anita. And I was like, oh, Anita's performing. She was amazing. Yeah.
Everybody was amazing. And Fred Schiff, who sang If I Were a Rich Man, he was my college voice teacher, actually. And he was just beginning his disability journey back then. And yeah, everybody was so amazing. And I think that's like the point. And I feel like, again, disability enhanced all of the work. I'm not saying that all of those numbers aren't brilliant material, but I'm sure you can agree, Patrick, seeing them through the lens of disability made you think, like, oh, wow, what else is there?
Oh, my gosh, yeah, absolutely. As you were saying, it was such a magical night, and what a great opportunity, too, to showcase the work of all of these performers. It was incredible. Amazing job with putting that all together. It really was a special night.
Oh, thank you, Patrick. It was very rewarding, definitely. Yeah, just to see, like, the whole audience and of disabled and non-disabled people coming together to, like, cheer these performers on, who, again, were so amazing. Like, I gotta be honest with you, like, when we were shaping the night, we thought about having like a kind of like getting to know you portion with every song, but David Alpert and Brilliant Lusso said no. Like, if I was staging any other kind of showcase, I wouldn't have that with like performers that who weren't disabled. So like, we need to let the work speak for itself. And I really think he's right, and, like, it did.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think the work did speak for itself, so.
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. Brennan, I cannot thank you enough for taking the time to join us on the ActorCast today. And not only for taking the time to join us on the show, but I've said it before, I'll say it again, you really are paving the way for performers with disabilities through what you've created with Disabled Down Center, and just really being a voice for those who haven't been able to have a voice within the entertainment industry. And obviously there's still a lot of work that needs to be done, but you know, I cannot thank you enough for sharing your story, sharing your perspective, and sharing what's next as well on the show. But before we wrap up, I'm just wondering if you could share with our listeners where they could find out more information about you and your work and Disabled Down Center.
Okay, perfect. So I guess I can just guide you to DisabledDownCenter.com, where you can find information about our fall training series, and our spring, winter and spring training series will be announced soon. We're just firming up those teaching artists. But if I may, in October, I mean, this is probably coming out in later this fall, but in October, we'll be having the vice president of ABC Primetime Casting, Marcy Phillips, is going to teach our first masterclass. And then our November masterclass will be taught by Tara Rubin, who owns Tara Rubin Casting, who's a legendary Broadway casting director. They both are legends. And I just want to really say that the Disabled Down Center training program is for everyone, disabled and non-disabled alike, because I really feel as if inclusion is about everyone learning and growing together. So again, you can go to DisabledDownCenter.com. There you'll find my website and my bio and more information about everything.
Great. Well, I'll make sure to include the links to those in our show notes. So listeners out there, all you have to do is scroll down and click those links. I highly recommend checking it out. Brennan, do you have any final words or thoughts, any final words of advice or just thoughts before we sign off?
Have several interests. Have many interests. Have many occupations. Have many things you like to do for fun. Don't just singularly focus on acting, because you're a person first and foremost. So if you're not a happy person, you won't be a good actor.
Oh, that's great. Well, that's some very, very profound words of wisdom, actually. So, Brennan, we'll leave our listeners with that. Thank you so much again.
Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of ActorCast. You can head to actorcast.fm and leave us a review to let us know what you thought of this episode. If you haven't already done so, sign up for our newsletter to get the latest and greatest information on upcoming guests, showcases, and much more. I look forward to catching you all in the next episode, and you know what time it is. It's time to go out and create.